It's Friday, August 16th. We've made it to Friday, although I'm still recovering. I can't breathe, and it is well past nap time.
It's nap 30. Krista is probably just about to wrap up her big honeymoon in her secret location.
It's an adventure. She's not going to be back next week, though.
No, I doubt. Well,
no.
No?
No. Not for the next week news. She'll be back after we film next week's news.
Oh, that's right, because she's not leaving till.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, security and nonsense today. This first story, I have to admit, I actually didn't read because I screwed up the URL and I was like, I'll go back and read that. I didn't.
New Spectre-like CPU vulnerability bypasses existing defenses. This came out at the AMD event in San Francisco, and like on stage that live, they were like, yeah, well, this is not a big deal for us. And it's a big deal for Intel. Like Intel, you know, the new Ice Lake laptops are out. Still security issues at present in silicon. This is bad. Real bad.
Just more fuel to that fire that's now a bonfire for poor little Intel. They're going to have to cut prices considerably.
What are we coming up on? Like 2 years? 2 years in with Spectre and we're still not really seeing hardware mitigations?
Yeah, for the most part.
Almost 3 years?
It's basically, Spectre and Meltdown have been a matter of nobody really taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that
is
the saving grace.
Meanwhile, AMD is on Zen 3 with the design complete, and they've been able to roll in hardware mitigations every generation. That's pretty crazy.
So we talk a lot about Europe and GDPR. And for the most part, it's been pretty positive. I have to say I was a skeptic when it came to GDPR, but I do like the idea of these tech companies getting hammered for the stupid things that they're doing, you know, hitting them with fines. It can be abused, and I think we're right on the cusp of it being abused, but it's good for the people, right? It lets you go after them.
Who would abuse? That's great. No, this law is designed to protect the people. Who could possibly come up with a way to abuse it?
Okay. Well, the problem is, you know, it's the government, and they tend to screw things up.
They do. Researchers have shown how Europe's data protection laws can dox people. So a security researcher was able to get companies to give him his fiancée's social security number, passwords, and other sensitive private information without her consent by taking advantage of GDPR's right of access requests. So we got all these leaks, the Equifax leak and the new leaks. It's really easy to impersonate somebody and have all their info. And so how is a company going to know it's really you that's requesting your data?
So not everybody gave him the information. Some people were like, hey, how do we know? You know, but for the most part, he didn't get a lot of. And I can.
There was not a lot of pushback because these systems were not designed to push back.
And I can kind of understand it too because they're all so terrified, right? I mean, it's like, you will give people their information or we will destroy you. And they're like, okay, here you go, take it. Yeah, just don't shoot. And you run into things like this. But now that this has been publicized, I'm sure a lot of ne'er-do-wells will take advantage.
A lot of ne'er-do-wells were like, oh, wait, we didn't think about that. Yeah, I'm just going to go get all this info right now.
And speaking of being doxxed, you don't necessarily need someone coming after you. Although, if you were on this list, you probably do have at least a couple people who would like to come after you.
E3 accidentally doxxed over 2,000 journalists, YouTubers, and streamers. So the E3, like the attendee list of all the people that were going to E3, they accidentally posted it on E3's website. And there's no password or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's all the contact info, mailing address, the whole nine yards.
Oops. So if you're a popular YouTuber, your home address, probably not something you want necessarily to be out there. But it is. Sorry.
Womp womp.
Welcome to E3. This is another, it was on the website, just, you know, unencrypted, no password, nice little database.
Because why not?
Download it, share it with your friends. Robocalling is something that is, we talk about it every week, it's not getting any better. We supposedly have all these laws on the way, but who's to say if they're actually going to be effective? One thing you can do is you can go to the App Store and get some anti-robocall software. How effective it is questionable. And also, you have to wonder who made it.
To TechCrunch has the headline, robocall blocking apps caught sending your private data without permission. Huh. This is truly the darkest timeline.
Who are they sending it to? I'll give you three guesses. It's Facebook. And other ad-aware companies who want that information so they can advertise to you and violate your privacy.
The robocall spam has definitely stepped up the last several weeks. I've gotten more robocall spam than I ever have.
It might be a situation where like they see these laws on the horizon, and it's like, we got to wring every cent we can out of this hardware before we get shut down.
Yeah.
This one was... I thought about putting this in the AI, but it's not really AI. It's really just monitoring a camera. It has to do with the ability of light to penetrate your hemoglobin. And sounds cool. It's going to be something that insurance companies use.
Preventative health at your fingertips. U of T researchers accurately measure blood pressure using your phone's camera. So it takes about 30 seconds of footage, and that is enough for them to tell your blood pressure within 95 to 96% accuracy.
It's going to be hilarious because we're going to get into a world where it's like, in order to speak to the customer service representative, I'm going to need you to calm down by this percentage. Please hold your camera up so we can confirm that you've reached a level of calm.
This call will be disconnected in 30 seconds if your blood pressure is not lowered.
So, yeah, that's a dystopian world. But I guess if it saves some lives, that's a good thing, right? Because some people don't know.
You think we'll enter the other version of that dystopia where, like, the telephone operator doesn't want to deal with people, and it's like, oh, man, if I can just get this person's blood pressure just a little higher, they'll go into cardiac arrest, and then I don't have to deal with them.
It could be. Or the software is so bad, like the nag screens and the paywalls and stuff, adjust to your what they think that won't kill you. You know, it's just like, just annoy you just enough to keep you alive. Apple, as we spoke, are getting into the credit game. They're trying to sell more iPhones. They're trying to get more people onto the platform. And maybe this is part of that push. I don't know. Maybe it's a PR stunt. But it's good news if you can find one of these exploits.
Apple confirms a $1 million reward for anyone who can hack an iPhone. This is up from like $200,000. Their previous bounty was a couple hundred thousand. If you're an original researcher researching this, I think the Israeli companies are willing to pay you more than $1 million.
Oh, I think that's why they bumped it up.
Yeah.
Because on the black market, these are worth so much more. Now, this is not for every hack. This is what they call a zero click, meaning the user doesn't have to interact with it. So, I mean, this is kind of a...
unicorn?
A doomsday scenario. There is, I think, 500,000 if you can do it through the network without user interaction rather than the phone itself. So, you know, maybe unlikely, but a nice headline, right?
We just got through with DEF CON, and nobody claimed it at DEF CON yet, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Now, if you work with websites, you've probably learned, and if you haven't, I'm sorry to tell you, WordPress is a security nightmare. It's basically like just opening up your house and putting a sign out front that says, please rob me. And so one of the reasons for that is people don't update their WordPress websites. Although even if you do, it's not great. But you're really screwed if you just put it out there and let it sit, which a lot of people do. So if you're WordPress, what do you do about that? Well, they've got an answer.
The WordPress team is working on a daring plan to forcibly update old websites. So WordPress team wants to forcibly auto-update older WordPress versions to newer releases. Now, most WordPress installs, people will actually just toggle on automatic update. But it can break things, and it can break things especially if your plugins are updated out of sync with the rest of WordPress. And so you can, you know, crash WordPress and it may not work. So this plan is going to upgrade sites, look at them to make sure that they upgraded correctly. And if they didn't, it'll roll back the update.
You can see how tentative these steps will be. Because like, okay, we're going to start with 2%, see how that goes. Then we'll go to 18. And then after that, we're real confident we're going to go to 80. But that's just from 3.7 to 3.8. And then they're just going to keep going on with those steps until they get to 4.7.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's going to take a long time.
A lot of people also don't build WordPress sites correctly. which means that it's basically impossible to update it properly, which is always a lot of fun when you're inheriting those kind of projects.
Now, they say that they will kind of monitor your site for that and roll it back and then send you a strongly worded email. I was like, listen, you must fix this.
Well, your site is so hackable, we use the hack to try to update your website.
Yeah. So we have learned that Alexa is not only always listening, but Alexa has people who are actively listening. We learned the same thing about, what was the other one?
Cortana?
I don't think, was it Google?
Google?
Yeah, it was Google.
Alexa?
So the OK Google recordings.
Yeah,
we're getting the same treatment.
And Siri.
And not surprising, now we learn about this one.
Microsoft contractors are listening to some Skype calls. Now, this is different because this is Skype. This is a person-to-person call. This is not digital assistant quality control. This is just straight up eavesdropping.
But it's also translations. So I understand this, and maybe I'm not thinking about this correctly, but it's like person speaking in one language too, and then Skype translating it to another language. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because they talk about a fair amount of these was phone sex. How disconnected is phone sex if it's being translated by a robot?
I think we're going to have to do a level one experiments video. Then we're not going to be able to post that on YouTube. That's going to have to be for patrons only.
So, yeah. cool feature. And they're trying to make it better, of course, by judging how well the translations are being done in real time. So that means somebody's listening to your conversation. That's got to be a weird job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting probably for the first week, and then after that, it's just mind-numbing.
Now, I think we covered this story last week, but there's some more information from ZDNet about this.
I don't remember this one at all. Maybe. But we have definitely talked about the big thing about phones are the SIM card attacks, which you can't defend against because it's the employees. Now, this is not exactly that. But it's the same kind of thing. There is no defense against this kind of hacking if you're a user.
AT&T employees took bribes to plant malware on the company's network. The Department of Justice has charged a Pakistani man with bribing AT&T employees more than $1 million to install malware on the company's network and unlock more than 2 million devices. So, I don't know. It's going to come out in the court case if these devices were stolen or what exactly, but when you buy an AT&T phone, it's locked to the AT&T network, and they generally will not unlock it unless you're the original owner and you've paid it off. So if somebody is at the end of their plan and they're like, oh, I don't want my phone anymore, it can be really difficult to unlock that to be able to use it elsewhere, and it's fairly locked down. So this enterprising individual just paid off employees to do that, and also the malware let him do it surreptitiously remotely.
Yeah, the malware, it seems like that was just an escalation when his original plan of paying them off stopped working.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, well, let's just install this. Oh, that's not working anymore? Here's some devices to add in to the network so that I can get in remotely and do it myself. And over years, this was like, 2014, 2015, he's been doing this since?
Mm-hmm.
And worked that entire time. They just not caught him. Sad.
Wouldn't it be terrible if you were just trying to make an honest living and that's how it actually works in your other... Because, that's just business as usual in, China.
He's from Pakistan.
Yeah, wait, was this wrong? Should I not have done this?
Well, I don't think that makes it any better.
No, but it's kind of funny.
Big story this week is Jeffrey Epstein, of course, killing himself. And we can't help but ask the questions. Were maybe people being protected there? What names were on that list? And I think the names that aren't powerful enough to have themselves redacted are the ones we're going to see, sadly enough. Not the serious ones. And that certainly seems to be what this story is about.
AI pioneer accused of having sex with trafficking victim on Jeffrey Epstein's island. Marvin Minsky was named alongside several other prominent men. So, yeah, I don't know. Marvin, I was at the Minsky AI lab at MIT. And That was like...
Yeah, he's a celebrated guy.
So that's just... I mean, that's sort of crazy. He died in... 2016. Yeah.
So it turns out that Epstein had a bit of a fetish for big technology guys. And he'd bring them out to the island, and these slave girls would have to service them. Or that's the, you know, the accusation here. We don't know. Allegedly. And it just goes to show you that there were probably a lot of names where that kind of thing happened.
I think there were a lot of names on the list overall. Like one of the, I saw one article that mentioned like John Cleese, and it's like, but is he just, you know, does this guy like having his contact information, or did he ever go to the island?
Oh, this is, I don't know about the Furminsky, the girl.
Yeah.
Like, was like, yes.
Yeah.
I was told.
Yeah,
but it also raises the question: did Minsky have any idea
that
he was being, you know, comped, so to speak, or did he think it was just his luckiest day?
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh my God, she must really love AI.
Yeah, no, there's one of our more socially awkward acquaintances went to Vegas and was approached and did not realize that it was not.
You have to know that there's a certain like. Out of your leagueness, that you become suspicious. Like, wait a minute, am I going to be robbed, or are you doing this professionally?
So I can imagine that, you know, there are people that would create a very sick situation like that, and I can imagine that there are people. I don't know if Minsky's one of them. I don't personally know him or know anything about his personality type, but it's easy to imagine that some of those people that are not in that world would be just completely caught off guard by something like that
if
the whole thing was set up that way.
Or even on some level, no, but it's like, you know what? I'm just going to roll with this.
Because
when am I going to have this opportunity again?
This is Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
You don't understand. It's Fantasy Island.
Or once again, it's like, wow, I bet she's really into machine learning. You know?
It's like, fancy meeting you, someone into AI. Just, you know... Oh, yeah.
Would you like to talk about algorithms?
Yeah, that would be a red flag for me. It's like, something's up. This is not right.
Oh, so here's a question for you. In 2019, what's more desirable? Royalty or Instagram royalty? We have an answer, courtesy of the Princess of Norway.
The Princess of Norway is dropping her title to become an Instagram influencer. I miss this one. So she's not allowed to be royalty?
It's a lot darker than that. So Princess of Norway, I had no idea that Norway had a royal family. Did you?
I knew that there's a king of Norway.
So it sounds like she's under the sway of like a Rasputin type guru guy, you know, and he's got her into all this new age crap and like auras and the spirit world and stuff like that. So he is obviously using her status to like sell tickets to events and stuff like that, where you go and go on these crazy retreats or whatever. And so he would put it, it's like, come and visit the Princess of Norway and find your, you know, inner peace or whatever. Well, obviously the people of Norway, and especially the royal family, not big fans of that branding. So they're like, you have to stop doing this. So this announcement was actually more about like, I'm still the Princess of Norway, but on social media, I'm not that anymore. I'm just your happy, wonderful, you know, Instagram thought.
I'm legally changing my name to Princess.
Exactly. So, yeah. And then, of course, it mentions that she was with Gwyneth Paltrow, and they're into that same kind of, you know, garbage. But it is a fascinating story. I would love to know more about, because this guy, it seems like he's like the worm tongue, you know, like just leading her around, controlling her.
Maybe that's where Goop came from. That would be disturbing.
So, sad, I guess. I don't know. I wonder if the Norwegian royal family gets a stipend like the regular one does. Or is it just purely ceremonial?
No idea.
Well, we've talked about overreactions to the shootings and the whole like video games cause violence thing. Walmart pulled their displays down, which seems a little tone deaf and premature, but it wasn't just them.
Oh, yes. Apex Legends tournament has been pulled from ESPN in the wake of mass shootings. So, I don't know why Apex Legends, like, it's cartoon violence. It's not even real violence. This makes no sense on so many levels.
It looks fairly realistic,
though. Doesn't make any sense.
So, they didn't not... This was actually a replay.
The giant robot shooting whatever?
Apex, they're not giant robots.
Well, one of them is.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like the one that shoots the rope or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Eh, well, you know, I mean, they're trying to cover all their bases.
Plus, also, there's the respawn thing. So, it's like Apex Legends is at a time where...
Yeah, but, I mean, if we're trying to teach people not to shoot, we also can't be teaching them that it's like there's no consequences to the shooting.
I don't understand.
So, that was a just stupid thing that happened.
Isn't like, rifles and firearms part of the actual Olympics?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that one where you ski and then shoot things.
Yeah.
That's a cool event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not for long.
That's too archaic. It's like we can only use laser tag rifles now.
Airsoft. So when it comes to stupid products, and you know, we always have a couple stories that really don't have anything to do with technology, but maybe this is technology. Maybe this is the thing that's missing from your life that's going to make you happier. Although, I don't think it would make me happier.
Firm launches glitter-infused multivitamin to add poop time pizzazz. Now, I was very skeptical of this, but I've also tried the Squatty Potty, and I would not have expected the Squatty Potty to be like an amazing thing. The Squatty Potty is actually pretty cool.
But how can you compare the two?
Well,
I mean, the Squatty Potty actually changes the way...
This is going to change the way you poop.
Is it, though? I mean, you're not even going to know about it till after. All right? You have to stop and investigate.
Maybe it's like, isn't that the point of like Goldschlager? Is the little flakes of gold are designed to cut your throat a little bit so that the alcohol will be absorbed faster? Maybe the glitter could, I don't know, never mind.
Okay, so you want to perforate your colon in order to improve the situation?
You just bleed your colon a little bit and it has a cleansing effect.
I got to think that this makes cleanup different, right?
There's going to be an archaeologist 500 years in the future that's like discovers your septic system from somebody that used this for years and just like, what happened here?
I mean, anybody that's been to a strip club in the 90s knows how difficult it is to get glitter off of you. And I can only imagine that is compounded when it comes.
I'm pretty sure that there was some large soap company that was putting glitter and microbeads and crap like that in their soap. And there was environmentalist that's like, this is an absolute ecological disaster.
They a lot of them did the plastic beads.
Wow.
It was like exfoliating.
Yeah. So that was a bad idea environmentally.
As is this.
Scientists build an artificial biomimicry-inspired tail just for humans. Yeah, it's a tail. It's an articulated tail that actually does provide balance.
Well... They say it's for balance, and there's probably some truth to that, but I think we both know that this is going to be for furries.
The most expensive fursuit on the...
check it out. So, I mean, if you're not hip to what tails do, it's like, you know, if you lean in one direction and you're a cat or whatever, your tail goes the other direction and provides a counterbalance. So this is supposed to do that same thing?
This would not be fun on the subway.
It uses hydraulics and, like, you know, it pumps fluid to move the tail and try to automatically balance you.
The only practical use of this is to become like Doc Ock from Spider-Man, and I could get behind that.
Yeah, but I don't think it articulates like in front of you.
Just need a longer set of whatever and more articulation things.
Now, they do point out that those, if you look at the individual vertebrae pieces, you can pop those on and off to accommodate different heights and, you know, weights and sized people, stuff like that.
I mean, I could use an extra, you know, set of prehensile something or others when I'm soldering or working on something.
This is going to be for when you go to furry cons and you're going to be walking and there's going to be like a small movement you can do that's imperceptible that raises your tail to signal arousal to other... That's what this is going to be used for.
I was even thinking like Mortal Kombat. Like, you know, Goro, we could finally have an articulated forearm person.
I don't know how much strength it has. I don't think it has a ton of strength.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have spikes or blades or something on it.
Goro cosplay.
And finally...
this is my favorite story of the week.
Well, my favorite story ever for Level 1 News, of course, was Pebbles, the emotional sport hamster.
Oh, no, Pebbles.
Pebbles. So,
nobody deserves to die that way.
If you don't know the story of Pebbles, this girl had an emotional support hamster, and the airlines told her, that's not a thing. You don't bring, okay, dog, fine, not a hamster. Go flush that stupid hamster before you get on the plane. And this girl, you know, I mean, she had an emotional support hamster. She wasn't maybe that well put together. She popped him right in there, flushed him right down. It was a tragedy. A tragedy. And if only we had had these rules back then.
The U.S. Department of Transportation rules the airlines must allow miniature horses to fly as service animals. And the reason for that is because miniature horses are actually named in the Americans with Disabilities Act. Because they can be trained like dogs to do complex maneuvers. So they actually do work well as a support animal.
Now, I imagine if you can be trained like a dog, that's the same picture, you can be taught to hold your poop, I guess?
Yeah. Usually there's a bag. So like there's a bag at the back that just collects it.
Yeah, but...
On a plane.
An open air horse shit bag on a plane. Because usually when you see horses that are pulling carriages or whatever in the street...
They got the bag.
Or they just let it go. I mean, but there is no like, no wait... Wait to go later. And also, like with dogs, it's like indoor outdoor kind of training.
Oh, yeah.
Where the horse is never in. Oh, I guess an emotional support horse would be, though, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very. Those of you with emotional support horses or just miniature horses in general, can you train them in some way like that? In the meantime, if you have social awkwardness or whatever on planes, get yourself a horse. I wonder how expensive mini horses are.
We only had, I think there were, we had one or two horses. When I was like my uncle had one when I was very very little, and he was not complimentary of the horse at all. He was like, that horse is the dumbest horse that I've ever seen.
But horses are expensive no matter how you slice it.
Yeah.
And a mini horse, I gotta guess, is more expensive. Maybe not.
I would think that it would probably be more expensive. I mean, especially a service animal, a trained service animal is gonna be pricey.
Well, that's all we got. We'll see you next week.
See ya. Check out our other videos.